Praise the Lord. I know this, many of you weren't here last week, and I gave a really great update on what I'm doing, so listen for it when it gets uploaded, I guess. So, you guys want to hear what's going on?
Yeah.
You hear it again? Yeah? So, all right, we'll throw it out there again. For those of you who don't know, I'm Scott Collier. I got to pastor this amazing church for 10 years. And, man, when we drove in this morning, it was like, I mean, the last couple weeks. Whenever I come, it's like coming home. It really is. I mean, just driving in, just a flood of emotions and memories and all kinds of things. Even during worship, I remember when in the back of the sound booth when Liz and Andy were in the hospital and Liz was in bed rest, you know, getting ready to have Gabriel. You know, we were like, you know, kind of back then, I don't know, they Skyped them in. Back then, you know, I don't know if you guys remember, we had that back there, and it's like, there's so many memories in this incredible church, and this church, it is home. It is home for us, but when we got called into the mission field away from pastoring, and God opened a door for us to start working with Convoy of Hope, I never dreamed that I'd be doing what I'm doing, and the capacity that God has opened the doors for us to do. Preached last Sunday, Monday morning, I flew to South Carolina. And then Tuesday morning, I was in Columbia, and we were partnering with a new ministry there in the South Carolina area. And this ministry is kind of like a teen challenge. Actually, the director of that one, where we were at, it's called Reconciliation Ministries, actually went through the teen challenge program. Then God instructed him to start his own recovery. And let me tell you, this was just an absolutely amazing opportunity to partner with this group. But we brought them a semi-load of food product and cleaning supplies, and they partnered with 14 other organizations, churches in the town, and they dispersed it amongst the hungry and the needy and the hurting. And just amazing what's going on, the doors that God has opened up. And then March, Shar and I, we're going to be on vacation, but in the middle of vacation, Shar okayed it for me to do one day of work. We're going to be in Texas vacationing with a young man of ours that got saved in our ministry in Burlington. He's become like a son. He's like the Burlington of Mike that's in New Sharon, right? I mean, he's just one of those, he's like a son to us. And so we're going to be there. And then we get to fly to Orlando to go speak to 280 pastors, district superintendents, and represent Convoy again. And out of the meeting, I'm trying to just like give you some new things from what I gave last year. If you're here last week, giving some new things. But out of the meeting I had with the district superintendent on Tuesday in South Carolina, we have set up to do 7 different workshops with all of their churches in South Carolina and other communities in the area, and also to work with 3 new church plants in South Carolina to do major outreaches with them. So it's just amazing the doors that God just keeps opening and opening, and I just stand in awe. I'm like, wow, Lord, I'm the ex-drug dealer from Michigan, and I get to travel the country to represent you in this amazing organization. And that's just like the power of God and what he can do and how he can just use anybody if we just say yes, Lord. And so New Sharon, almost an engaged church, Assembly of God, New Sharon Assembly of God, when you give to missions, you help us do what God's called us to do. And we just can't thank you enough for partnering with us. Every day, I really am just blown away at the favor of God that he thinks of me enough to go do things like that. It's mind-boggling. It really is. That's the power of God. And that's kind of what we talked about last week, right? If you missed last week, I'm going to encourage you to listen it, but I'm kind of kicking off a series from Mike, and it's called All In. And it's based on this scripture. We're just going to jump into the scripture for the series, and then we'll get into what God has for us today. But it's Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, and it's the beautiful picture of the body of Christ, the church that first began. And it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, their possessions, shared their money and those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That's the church. That's the church. And that's the church that God wants today. And it begins in us. And that's what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about how devoted the believers were back then. They were completely devoted to God. And what we talked about, again, I encourage you to listen to it because it's the foundation of the series that Mike's going to finish up when he gets back. But being so devoted to God, where God is over everything in your life, nothing else matters. Thank you, Dave. And that's what we gauge off, right? I mean, you know, I love my wife. My bride is here with me today, and I was like, this is so awesome to have her travel with me. She doesn't get to do it very often, but I love my wife. She, and like, on this earth, material person, she's the most important person in my life, but she's not above God. Nothing can be above God. Are we that devoted as believers that nothing else matters? And that's what we talked about last week. We have to be willing to set aside our personal desires, our thoughts, our opinions. There was another place for an amen, Dave. You missed it. Now, I'm not saying your opinion's bad. I'm just saying that was a good place. You're the only one I'm feeling connected with this morning. You got distracted. Dave, God first. You know, our personal wants and desires. You know, I remember when we talked about in a business meeting here in this church about remodeling this, right? And like, and I talked about, like, we can't have everybody's opinion on what we want to do in the remodel because some people like gray, some people like blue, some people like gold, right? And it's like, and everyone has an opinion on what color. This would be the glorious rainbow of all rooms, or just one of those dull, if we mixed them all together, it'd be one of those weird gray, purplish type things, right? And we have to be willing to say, God, nothing else matters but you. I am so devoted to you that nothing else matters. Even politically. Put your political opinion aside. God, yours what counts. Then I'm not saying that politics isn't important, because it is. If you remember, I am a very patriotic political person, but God doesn't come in between that. God is still God. And we base it on that. So we have to be completely devoted to him. Again, listen to the last one. I'm going to start preaching it again, but maybe we need to hear it again. But go listen, okay? So as we begin today, what God has for us, I started thinking about how my wife loves to read. And she doesn't do it as much as she used to. But I remember when we first got married, she would pick up a book and like almost like read it sometimes. And maybe she did. Pick it up and read it to the end without setting it down. And I'm like, you're weird. I read because I force myself. I hate it. I hate reading. But if you are anyone like that, it's like, you know, I can pick up a book and just read it through. See, again, you guys are weird to me, right? I don't get it. But then it's like, you know, for my non-readers, have you ever started watching a miniseries and just ran it all the way through? Yeah, come on now. Yeah, all right. What about my gamers? Okay, there's some young people have my gamers, right? You get the new, you know, NCAA football, right? And you play it for hours and hours and hours, right? Okay, back in the day, so I will remember this. Nintendo came out, and I played Super Mario for 20 hours straight. No, don't clap for that. That was bad. That was so bad. Let's just say the next day, the gamer was gone. The Nintendo went back to where it came from. So I was like, no. And so my kids started gaming and stuff. Like, yeah, Dad, come play with us. And a couple times I went and played with them, like, and it started coming back in where I get consumed with it and start playing. I'm like, oh, I cannot play games because I hate being bad at anything and I hate losing. Bad combination. And I'm a control freak. Add that in there, right? But what? Okay, so then if I didn't miss all of you, have you ever, and maybe this isn't like anybody here, but I've caught myself sometimes scrolling some of these reels. You know, these 30-second videos, right? And then, like, I realize 2 hours have passed. Oh, my gosh. If those don't hit any of you, you should be preaching the sermon because you have it figured out, and I'm still learning it. Because what it comes down to is this. There are so many things in this world that can consume us. There's so many options out there that can just consume us. Sometimes it's our opinion. Sometimes our wants and our desires. Sometimes it's Facebook. Sometimes it's, you know, the gaming or the books. Like, what, you know, again, it's about being all in. But what is consuming us? We're going to get in deeper than what we did last week, because this is really important, because Jesus talks about what we should be consumed with. Yes, it's him, but then he takes it to another step. And I want to read you a scripture. We're going to be in Luke. This is more of a teaching today than a preaching style. So I'm going to be just hitting a whole bunch of different scriptures. So take notes best you can. Put them on your phones. Write them down. However you want to. But take these scriptures down, because I think it's really important that we really consume this, because that's what Jesus wants, is to consume this. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." And come on, kids. You got a sibling like that, just like, you know, right, brown noser? Yeah, got to please mama and do it. I do all the work, they do nothing. But listen to what Jesus said, verse 41. But the Lord said to her, My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, Martha was consumed about the preparations. Martha was consumed about preparing the dinner, pleasing the guest. Mary sat at Jesus' feet just sitting there. How dare she not do anything but just sit there? But Jesus said, "Martha, Mary chose what was right, to sit at the feet of Jesus." Why was that so important? It you know, being in the presence of Jesus, oh my gosh. Yeah, Joel, that song, you know, "We Shall See the King." We've been talking a lot about that lately. In our home and in our discussions with our family and stuff, you know, about death, you know, and the afterlife, you know, and eternity with Jesus. Some of us are closer there than others. I tell my kids, like, we're all dying. It's just a matter of when. And we're all going to meet Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everyone's going to meet Jesus. But can you imagine being here over 2,000 years ago, seeing Jesus, and being more concerned about food, more concerned about preparations, than just sitting at his feet and listening to his every word? And Jesus told Martha, Mary chose the right thing, not because it was his presence, it's because of what he was teaching. Because what he was teaching. So to tie this in with the series, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first sentence says, "All the believers devoted themselves," last week devoted, right? "Devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings." Jesus wants us to be consumed with his word. His word. God's word is all we need. God's word is all we need. Consumed with it. The early church, they met daily. Daily. And there are times, I'll admit this, there's Sunday mornings I get up, I'm like, "Lord, don't feel it today. Don't feel like going to church." If you remember, for those of you who remember, I am a complete introvert. Put me in the woods, sun up to sundown, I'm a happy man. No signal on the phone, just me and God and creation. I just sit there. I am an intro. I love it. And there's times all the travel I do and all the people I get to meet. I love what I get to do, but there's times I'm ready to unplug. And being around people sometimes, and if it's just me, okay, go ahead and cast the stone. It's hard to people sometimes. Now my wife's like, "No, people." I'm like, again, one of those stupid reels. You ever see the one with the little kid? And mom's like, "What's wrong?" He's like, "People." And he turns and runs. I feel that way sometimes. God's word is all we need. It's not about a feeling. And that's why we have to learn to separate these things. There's times in our life, you know, when tragedy hits, when trial hits, when crisis hits, God says, come to me. And sometimes it's like, I don't want to go to you, God, in this moment. When our grandson died, you know, going on 3 years ago, when Gabriel took his last breath in my arms, the last thing I wanted to do was go to God, because I was mad. I was upset. God, I've seen you heal people. God, I've seen you take cancer away from people. I've seen people in wheelchairs get up and walk. Why? Again, I'm preaching to myself this morning, so you guys just enjoy while I'm preaching to myself. But if God is speaking to you, grab a hold of this. Sometimes we have to remove our feelings from the moment so that we can go to what we need, and what we need is God's Word. We need to be devoted to Him, all in. But we need to be all into the Word where it's consuming us. We need to be willing to set our emotions, our feelings, our wants, and our desires and get into the Word, because the Word is the most important thing that we can have in our life, that we do have in our life, and it's a privilege and an honor to consume it. The prophet said that, you know, he consumed the Word and it was like honey to his lips. You read Psalms 119, I read it this morning, 176 verses, the longest chapter in the Bible, and all it talks about is how good the Word of God is. He uses seven different words to refer to the Word of God. And he says, your decrees, your commands, your Word, I mean, all these different things that is so good, it's so pleasing, and all these things that it's good for. And the writer, whether it was, you know, David, Elijah, there's so many different people, no one knows. But the writer says the Word of God is so important that we just have to consume it. It has to consume us. Sometimes reading a chapter that's 176 verses, I'm like, can we move on, please? But when you really dive into it, and I did this morning, I'm like, wow, I'm never going to get through this chapter in time. I want to get it done. It's like, but then I was like, wait a minute. He is talking about all these different intricacies in life that the Word of God is to us and can be to us, and how we can apply it, and how that we, if we just focus so much on the Word, it answers everything. It answers everything. God's Word is all we need. The early church was devoted to the apostles' teachings. And I love what Josh Gill, I don't read all of his stuff, I think he's a Baptist background, but I go to it sometimes because some of the things that he has are so good. And he talks about this. I'm like, I wonder what his commentary was on this phrasing, the apostles' teaching. And it says this: their teaching was the doctrine of Christ, of which is the author, preacher, and subject. The substance of their teaching was peace, forgiveness, righteousness, salvation, deliverance, reconciliation, just to name a few things. But all through Jesus, everything that the apostles were teaching was the doctrine that Jesus gave throughout the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Everything that they were teaching there is what they actually saw in person and delivering it to the people. And the people who didn't get to meet Jesus and didn't get to hear these teachings, they were revealing it to them, and they were sitting at their feet now. Not because they were apostles, but because of what they were teaching, because it was so important that it was changing their lives. The Word of God is so powerful, it will transform. It will take a drug dealer from Michigan and turn him into a reconciled, justified, sanctified person, child of God. So no matter what your background is, God can change it. No matter what your opinion is, God can change it. Because the Word of God shows us. The words that the apostles were giving were transforming, were powerful, and they led to eternal life. It was all they needed. God's Word is all we need. Look what Jesus told his disciples. He was in the midst of this really hard teaching, you know, about the blood and his blood and his flesh. And he goes, if you don't take part of my flesh and my blood and eat of it, you can't take part of me. And this is what he says in John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are your spirit, and they are life. And then when he was talking about all these things, and again, about the eating the flesh and the blood, and you didn't get the what he was referencing, you know, into the what the prophets wrote in way, way back, thousands of years ago. And many followers left And the only ones who were left were the 12. And listen what it says. Jesus said this to him, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So when the teachings get hard, when life gets tough, the Word of God brings life. It will help us in whatever we have going on. The words and the teaching of Jesus just aren't suggestions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not suggestions. They bring life. When Jesus says don't, he meant don't. When he said go, he meant go. Have you ever wondered why there's so many different denominations? I have. You want the easy answer? People. We say, well, that's pretty general. It's because it's about people's opinions, and they're general. Dusty and I were talking about, we have something in common that not my AG people, I know you're not you're ordained with AG still, but you're still Pentecostal, have in common. We've been able to preach in the United Methodist Church. And some of my old AG, pastor friends, like, how do you go into a United Methodist Church and preach knowing what they know and what they believe? I said, well, one, I know that hopefully some of them believe in Jesus. And for those who don't and think there's all this fluff things in some churches, not all, okay, it's not all, okay, but some, maybe it's the first time they're actually hear absolute truth. I might not be the best speaker. I know I'm not the best speaker. I know I'm not the most intelligent speaker. I know I'm not the most theological preacher, but I know the Word of God, and I will preach absolute truth no matter where I go. It is what it is. If you don't like it, don't ask me back. It's pretty simple. I'll go preach anywhere. Anywhere. Nazarene, United Methodist, Baptist. I've never been invited to a Catholic church, but I'm waiting for the day. I'm excited about it. Bring it on. I'll go anywhere. Because I believe that the Word of God is absolutely powerful and transforming. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Powerful scripture, and many of you know it, but it just goes in here. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting deep, cutting between the soul and spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. The Word of God will cut. It will hurt. It will offend. It will convict. It's not meant to be easy. It's not fluff. Come on. Maybe. The Word of God is so powerful. Just a few things right here. Number one, it reveals God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We see that in Genesis 1 and 2 and throughout the four Gospels. It reveals who God is. You want to know who God is? You want to know how powerful He is? You want to know what His characteristics is? Get into the Word. It reveals Him. So many people questioning who God is. Get in the Word. You know the best? I've learned this. I have a lot of atheists in my family back in Michigan, and I've learned this. I used to try to debate them, arguing. You can't debate and argue with an atheist. You cannot. And I learned this, I think it was Lee Strobel. I learned it from him. Give him a Bible, prove it wrong. And then you tell them, it's like, listen, if you don't believe me, you think I'm crazy, fine. Here's a Bible, prove it wrong. And when you proved it wrong, come back to me. Until then, we're not going to discuss this. It works. You want to shut up an atheist really quick? Do that. It works because most atheists are very logistical people and are all about facts, facts, facts. And they like nothing better than to prove people wrong. If you watch the movie about Lee Strobel, Case for Christ, watch it. Oh, incredible. His wife got saved, and then he tried to prove that she was crazy, this was stupid, and then he gets saved by studying the Bible. It's amazing. Great, great movie. It reveals who God is. It's the power to teach, 2 Timothy 3:16, right? To teach. The power to reproduce and produce, Luke chapter 18, the plants and how it grows, the sower. This power to redirect, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. It talked about bringing back those who've gone astray. The Word of God does this. Power to revive, Psalms 138:7. In the midst of trouble, revive me, O God. It's a power to guide. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path. You want to know what to do? Go to the word of God. It'll teach you. It'll show you. Power to fight temptation. Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus. When Satan came and tempted Jesus, every single temptation, he threw the word of God at him. You want to fight temptation? Go to the Word. The Word is all powerful. It's all that we need. And understanding it and how we apply it to our life is what's going to not just get us to survive this life, but to thrive in this life. Boy, I'm going to pull it out of you today. I don't know about you. I don't want just to survive. I want to thrive in this life. I want to be so effective in my walk that Satan just flees even thinking about me. Right? I mean, when you read the scriptures and you read about the apostles, how, you know, they're walking down the streets and people were getting healed and delivered just by their presence. Why? Because they were in the presence of God. They were devoted to Him. They were devoted to His Word and being transformed. And when Jesus fought the temptation, He quoted scripture, you know, that what happened to Deuteronomy. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the second verse, Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, in fighting the temptation about Satan wanting to say, hey, you know, if you're hungry, if you really are Son of God, you know, turn that stone into bread, right? And Jesus says this, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth, from the mouth of God. God's word's all we need. God's word is all that we need. The word of God is truly our complete sustenance. I said it right this time. Sharon and I had a discussion on that word last night. I always thought it was substance with a B, and she goes, no, I think it was an S. I'm like, I don't think so. And yeah, my wife's always right. Again, I'm not the most educated person. But it's our sustenance. I'm going to get it right one of these days. I've been saying it with a B for I don't know how many years. It's all that I need. It feeds me. It supplies for me. It's everything. You'll think about this. Is the Word of God to you so important that you're willing to let it search your heart? Are you willing to let the Word of God enter in and change you? Are you willing to let the Word of God transform your mind? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, right? Transform us. We need to be transformed. Because this is it. If we're all in love with Jesus, and He is the most important thing, then the follow-through is to follow His Word, right? Because Jesus says, if you don't follow my commands, you can't be part of me. You're right? So when Jesus says do this, you do that. So we do it. If we're not changing into the image of Christ, we are being disobedient. Process this. And somebody's like, is that right theologically? Is that okay? Bear with me, okay? December 5th, 1992 is when I got saved. Again, drunk, all kinds of things in my life. All biggest sinner that I knew at that time. I look at where I was back then and where I am today. Totally different person. Totally transformed. But here's the point. I look at where I am today and now I have to compare myself to Jesus. Am I completely like Jesus yet? I'm not ever going to be Jesus, but I'm supposed to be like Him. Are you with me? So, today, February 26, 2025, I am not perfect. Jesus is the only perfect person ever. And He is my example of who I need to be like in everything I do. In thought, in deed, in work, all of it. He is my example. So I look at myself today. I was processing this today. And I was like, Lord, I'm definitely not who I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. That's her place. right? Because he remembered what I was like. I'm so much better than I used to be. But I'm not where I need to be. So how do I get to where I need to be? By constantly studying the Word and letting the Word transform me and show me where I'm still not like Jesus. In the moment that I think I have arrived, I don't need to keep changing, there's one of two things. God is about ready to take you home, or you're delusional. You have not truly consumed who Jesus is. Because you think, like, I have nothing else to change in my life. I don't sin anymore. You just did. Are you understanding? Are you with me? Young people, do you feel me? The old people are like, feel you? I still have some young people in my life. I understand what the old verb is, okay? I try to, my daughter always tells me, Dad, stop it. That's not cool. That's just not right. Don't old people saying young people things just doesn't look right. It's just wrong in so many ways. Oh, Leah. If you know Leah. You know Leah. Yeah. But I used to do those things just to embarrass her while I was preaching. It was great. Are we so devoted to Jesus that we want to be like him? Last week we were like, yeah, we want to be devoted. We want to be like, we're all in. We want to be all in and put Jesus first. Okay, now let's put Jesus first in how we apply it every day. We got to be into the Word. We have to be into the Word. We have to be consumed with the voice of God. Because somebody thought, I don't hear God. My first question is always that. I don't hear God. Okay, are you in the Word? Because the Word speaks to us. The Bible teaches us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that hovered the earth and when it was being created, now lives in those who accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. And when you open up that Bible and you read it, the Spirit is just ready to speak. And to reveal, and to teach, and to challenge us to get better. None of us have arrived. The question is, are we willing, what the psalmist said, 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. When's the last time you said, all right, God, here it is. All of it. Because I know, for myself, I'll speak again, preaching to myself, there's some parts of my heart, I'm like, nope, not going there. Can't have that one yet. There's things in our life until we just lay them out before the Lord, we're not going to get there. And there's some things in life that we hang on to because we feel like if we let them out and God reveals them and he starts working on us in those areas, all the hurt, you know, all the mistakes, whatever it is, the things that we cling to, they're like, this is me, this is who I am. And I have a very close friend that does that all the time to me. He's like, Scott, you don't understand my past. You're right. I don't understand your past. This is just who I am. This God's okay with this. He doesn't want me to change. I'm like, oh, you need to get in the Word more. Because if it's not godly, God wants it out. God wants it out. And we have to be willing to, like, search me, O God. Every nick, cranny, everything, O God. Search my heart and reveal to me what's there that shouldn't be there. The Word of God will transform us. And if we want to be the church, like the early church that was powerful, that was a true family. I'm trying not to get into the areas that Pastor Mike to be preaching on soon, but a true community that was there for one another always. Again, I'll go back to, it's like, man, there's some days I just don't feel like coming to church on Sunday. And then I read the scriptures, like, they met daily. They met daily. Why did they meet daily? because they understood the importance of community. They understood the importance of the body. Because what I'm gifted at, you might not be gifted at. Right? I mean, I know there's construction people in here. There's truck drivers in here. You know, there's farmers in here. It's like, you know, we all have these gifts that can come together, and we need each other. But what we need more is that we all come together, and our focus is to Jesus, and we're willing to be there for one another, each other, while we're trying to change and become like Jesus in character, to truly be like Him. Because when it's challenging and we're struggling, we need each other. You know what the church struggles with today? And it's getting worse and worse and worse. I coached for 20 years, and the last 5 years it was like so hard, because you had these kids that didn't want constructive criticism. Hey, you need to change this and do this. This will help you in your line coach, right? You do this step this way, it'll get you there quicker, it'll give you better balance, those type of things. We see it in the church today. We are so afraid to go up to a brother or sister that we just saw, you know, commit a sin or do something wrong. We're like, oh, we can't offend people. What will they think? Are you more concerned about what they think or their destination? The Word of God tells us to be there for one each other, right? It's like, well, we're not supposed to judge. Remember about the speck? Oh, but read the rest of it. It says to take the... you know, take your plank out of your eye so you can clearly see the speck in your brother's eye. It means that we need to make sure whatever sin they're dealing with, I'm an ex-drunk, okay? If I don't have that under control, I can't go up to someone else and say, man, you're sinning, you're a drunk. Well, so are you. Or you're a gossiper. I know there's none in any church ever, because we use that, but, well, so-and-so's going through this and we need to pray. Well, if you don't have permission to share, you're gossiping. And we need to be able to constructively, lovingly, to call out to help one another, to get better. Again, you want to know why there's so many different churches and denominations? Because of that. People will leave the church because they're afraid to confront things, more than likely within themselves. Or, you know, an argument happens within a church, and now you have a church split. I'm from Burlington. That's where we still live. Pastored there for 6 years. 28,000 people, 73 churches. I met with a pastor probably the first year I was there. He goes, yeah. He goes, 5 of these churches came from my church. And I asked him, I said, why? He goes, you know, just stupid arguments. I said, did you ever confront them? He goes, no, I just let them go. If leadership isn't willing to confront rebellion, there's going to be constant splits. Constantly people running from Jesus and from God. And now I get to travel and go in churches, I see it more and more and more. I'm not saying we're supposed to be so judgmental that we run people off, but we need to be the place where, like, we can go to people, give constructive criticism lovingly with the leading of the Holy Spirit, and guide them back to Jesus, because the Word says that is reconciliation. That is giving life. That is bringing people back into the fold. That is bringing people to Jesus. That's what the Word says. As believers, that's what we're supposed to do with one another. Challenge me. I'll admit when I'm wrong. I'll admit when you're wrong. It's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. But it will be based on God's Word, not my opinion. And if I haven't done my research enough and I haven't gone into the Word enough, then it's my opinion. I have to make sure that what I say is in alignment with God's Word and led by the Spirit of God with love and gentleness, with my opinion to the side. But it only happens when we're consumed with the Word, devoted to the Word. So, if your Bible app is dusty, open it up. If your actual Bible is dusty, open it up. I know Pastor Mike does this all the time. You guys have a reading program, and he just, like, I love your pastor. He is a one of a kind. He is not just like a son to me. I said this last week. I see pastors all the time. And if I live closer, this would be our church home because of your pastor. Because he loves Jesus, he loves you, and he wants the will of God no matter what. And no, he didn't pay me to say that. I just know him that well. And I've challenged him on things. I have. Mike, why? Why that? Why? You know, but we have that kind of relationship. As the body of believers, we need to have that kind of relationship with one another. I want nothing more than to see every single person, like the Bible says, everything's going back to the Word today. Are you seeing a pattern? That God doesn't want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. All. And that's removing my opinion. Because there's some people in my past life, honestly, I could care less if I ever saw them again. There's some hurts there. But removing my opinion, God says to pray for your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Going back to God's word, I'm walking you through this, brothers and sisters. My family, this is home. You want to see the results of the early church in New Sharon? We have to be devoted where God is number one, and we have to be in the Word, letting the Word transform us constantly until our last breath. And until we breathe that last breath, God's not done changing us. Not done. We have not arrived. Have not. But oh, when we arrive, right, brother? We see Jesus. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more needing to change. Right? Perfect peace. No more arthritis. Hallelujah. Come on. No need for knee replacements, hip replacements. We just need Jesus. We just need Jesus. Hey, Emma, did you say you were closing today? Did that change? Yes? Are you doing the closing? Come on up, girl. It has been an absolute honor to come back home and to share. Just to see you, but most importantly, to share the Word of God. There are things in this world, in this life, that will constantly change. Amen? We were talking, we were driving in. She goes, I wonder how much New Sharon has changed in the last year we've been here. Well, like if we look like 10 years ago, it's like, wow, it's changed a lot in 10 years. We go back home to Michigan, and you know, we're back home. We've been gone out of Michigan for 20 years now. Wow, have things changed. There's only one thing that will never change, and that's the Word of God. Revelation teaches that. We shall never take away from it. We shall never add to it. The Word of God remains the same because our God remains the same. He is our focus. And in His Word, we have to be consumed with it. Dive into it. Learn it. Just don't read it to read it. You know, open it up. Say, God, speak to me today. Speak to me. Show me truth. Show me what I need to do today. Is it something I need to change? Is it something I need to walk someone else through? Is it, you know, just teach me, God. Teach me. I think I shared this a long time ago, but I remember taking a group of teenagers on a mission trip to upstate New York when my uncle was pastoring. I was talking about the Word of God and the importance of it. And at that time, I maybe read through the Bible maybe like twice and asked my Uncle Vernon. He was there, and he'd been a follower of Jesus for probably close to 30 years at that time. And I said, Uncle Vernon, I said, how important is the Word of God? He goes, Scott, so important. I said, can I ask you a personal question? He goes, absolutely. I said, how many times have you read through the Bible in your 30 plus years of being a believer? He goes, Scott, he goes, I don't know. I'm like, just give me a guess. Is it more than 20? He goes, oh yeah. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. I said, is it more than 50? He's like, oh yeah. I'm like, is it over 100? He's like, yeah, it's gotta be. I said, can I see your Bible? And I open up his Bible. The notes, the markings, the testimonies. And then he starts weeping. He says, Scott, the Word of God is so important, I would die without it. He goes, I'm in it at every waking moment that I don't have things to do. If I have the moment, he goes, I'm in it. And I'm reading it because I don't want to miss out on anything. I remember seeing a video of people in China where they got the cases of Bibles, and they all ran to it and they grabbed their Bibles and they're hugging it and they were weeping. They were so overjoyed to have the Word of God. And I think about my uncle and I think about those people in China. I think about people who don't even have that. I think, God, I am so unworthy. God, why don't I have a heart like that? I get consumed with life and sometimes I just set you and the Word aside. God, and this morning I was praying, like, I'll be honest. I was like, God, transform your people. And God's like, let's start with you. I'm like, all right, Lord, start with me. I pray, if you're not there, if you're there, praise God. But if you're not in that place where God is, you're consumed with Him, you're devoted to Him, and you're not consumed by the Word, I pray that the Spirit is speaking to you this morning, challenging you, guiding you, and showing you that this is a good thing. It's an important thing. It leads to life, life eternal. Some of us got a year left. Some of us got 50 years left or whatever Jesus comes. I don't know. But in whatever that time frame is, we've got to understand how powerful the Word is and how we need to be in it. I hope you hear my heart, but most importantly, I hope you see the power of God's Word. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to ask you a few questions. So if you would just close your eyes, bow your heads. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you and you struggle understanding the Word, maybe it's because you're new in your walk, maybe you just read to read, but you just don't feel that the Word is speaking to you, transforming you, showing you. Listen, no one's looking. If that's you, if you struggle with that, just raise your hand and say, Scott, that's me. Anybody this morning? Praise God. If you feel like, man, the Spirit says challenge you to dig deeper, to learn more, to be consumed more, that God wants to show you more, you're feeling challenged just to dig in more. Is that you this morning? Raise your hand. Praise God. Father, as we close this morning, we trust in you. Trust in your Word. Trust in your Spirit. Lord, for those of us feeling challenged and convicted by your Spirit, Lord, that may we put other things in front of you. We put your other things in front of being in your Word. God, I pray your Spirit speaks to us. Your Word says that your Spirit guides us and counsels us and helps us, directs us. Holy Spirit, do a work in all of us this morning. That the words that we heard this morning, the words that we read this morning from your Word, your heart, your instructions, Lord, be pierced upon our hearts. And Lord, when we dig into the Word, Lord, and for those that I just don't understand it, Holy Spirit, awaken their mind and their eyes and their ears, that you show them truth. And when it's time to change, God, you show them, Lord, the pathway of the change. For those of us, Lord, we just need to be in it more. God, I pray we learn to set things aside. Whether it's the games, whether it's the books, whether it's the TV, Facebooks, our phones, wherever it is, God, that we would go to your Word first. There's nothing wrong with enjoying those things, but they can't consume us. So God, let's help us. God, help me to put you and your word above all other things. And God, for all of us, none of us is removed from this. Help us all to grow every day into the image and character of Jesus, our Savior, and hallelujah, our coming King, where we will see Him face to face. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for speaking to us. We ask it in your Son's matchless name. And all God's people said, amen.